God is so good, guys, isn't he? He is so good. He never is not good, and I thank him for that. We're going to go to Proverbs 1:7. I really believe when somebody says, what is, you know, if there is a problem, Matt, I love what you said about the presence of the Lord. It's so true. Remember Psalm 73? The psalmist speaks of the trouble, and it just seems like the wicked get away with every break. And I'll never forget the verse that says, you know, I almost betrayed a generation of my people, meaning believing all of what I'm just saying, until I came into the sanctuary of God. There is something so powerful. God's perspective, as it gets a hold of you, as things change, it's just, I want to encourage you in that. I've seen it so many times where we look at things, you know, as the best as we can see. And then the Father gives us that heavenly view, and it changes. You have a peace. Suddenly you see it different. I'm telling you, it's like, literally, it's not like seeing things brighter, but sometimes it is a different view. Not apples and oranges, but rather the space versus the earth. I mean, it's so far apart. But we see something in society, and people do all kinds of bizarre things, and I do believe we live in a fearless society. I really do. What is the remedy to a society that does not fear God whatsoever? In fact, can blaspheme God left and right? Can he even accuse God of everything? God's been accused of many things. Isn't it funny? God has been accused of many things. Mm-hmm. But the accusations against the Lord, obviously, it's ridiculous. But I thought, Lord, we need the fear of the Lord. I have a personal prayer where I ask God to grow me. I want to grow in the fear of the Lord. Yes. I don't come to you today preaching that I've mastered this, so I'm going to show you guys how to master it. But I come to you today as your pastor, but as a believer. And I'm saying, Lord, the remedy to the fearless society is that the people of God would fear the Lord more. If we can grow in fearing the Lord, and if the world does look in the church and it sees the fear of the Lord, I'm not telling you they will get saved, but also I will tell you, though, there will be a testimony. Now, I want to go to Proverbs 1:7. In fact, there's not a greater book in the scriptures that even at that keyword, the fear of the Lord. And I want you to go to 1:7. 1:7. Proverbs 1:7. And you'll know this one. We've read it. We've all read it in our lives. And, I sat down. I started to work on a message. And I really had a sense about the fear of the Lord. And then I looked. And it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It goes on. It says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. So there's two things here. If the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, I got to be honest with you. I want to know that. And even Proverbs 9:10 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And if that's the case, if I can't learn the way I need to learn without the fear of the Lord, then I must pray and say, God, grow me in the fear of the Lord. Here's my bigger problem, and I speak this to you as wise men and women who are growing, and I say this to you that even the church has lost much of the fear of the Lord. It really has. There is a blanket, an atmosphere that I have watched, and being a minister, I go in many circles. I see many things, far more than the average person sees because of how much I interact and have interacted with other pastors and other ministries in other states, in other countries. Even now in far-reaching countries I've been in, to where there used to be, you know, the time of prayer before service, and the kind of, you'd walk in there, and it wasn't fake. You would have that sense, this is the house of the Lord, and I'm going to sit. Even in Asia, in places I've been, now people are stuck on their phones reading the latest news. They're not even praying. I believe the Lord wants to return the fear of the Lord to the individual. When I say the church, because if God doesn't return the fear of the Lord to a building, he returns the fear of the Lord to the people of Christ. But there are things, I want you to think about this. I have been a fool in parts of my life. We think we all have. We've all had areas where we go, oh, could have did that a whole lot differently. And then we look at it, and then often if you realize it, I want you to take any area of your life. Many times the enemy tries to drive away, to dull down the fear of the Lord. He knows if he can do that, you will be fearless in the wrong way. And you will break a boundary. You will walk through something. That's why it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The only way we're going to know the knowledge of God to a greater depth is as we grow in the fear of the Lord. And nowadays, one of the problems is, if you speak about this, a lot of Christians, I'm not talking the world, we're not preaching to the world, preaching to the church. A lot of Christians will even rebuke you, because when you talk about the fear of the Lord or having reverence, they will, number one, either tell you you're being religious. Number two, you're being legalistic. When the truth is, that's not at all what you're talking about. There's an old saying, the devil is in the details. Many times as I speak in different places and I've talked to different Christians, they're programmed in a way to where they hear something. It's like a word relation. You know what I mean? You say dog, I say cat. You say husband, I say wife. But in this way, you say, you know, we need to obey the Lord. Legalism. Mm-hmm. We need more of the fear of the Lord. Oh, that's just a bunch of religiousness. And there's a word association that I actually believe the enemy planted in the church that is obeyed many times. And we don't even know it, because we're parroting something we've heard from someone else who heard from someone else who heard from someone else who believed what they were saying was God. But we will not grow much in certain areas if, well, number one, if you don't believe it, you're not going to see a need to do it. You know, it doesn't matter how old of a Christian or young of a Christian we are. We need to grow in the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of knowledge. And the knowledge of God, it's like, I want you to think about this. The knowledge of God and the knowledge of the different attributes and the things of, that God speaks, it's almost like they got to be put on a foundation of the fear of the Lord. If we learn the Word of God and we have knowledge of God and we begin to even get an intimacy with the Father and we're even in the prayer closet, there's going to need to be a fear of the Lord that comes over you. Otherwise, the knowledge doesn't sit right. Did you ever wonder why you go, somebody, you can just preach all the right things. You can speak all the right things. Even as a believer, you can say you believe all the right things. But if the fear of the Lord has been strategically kind of knocked out from your foundation, even the right knowledge you hold doesn't seem to stick. It doesn't seem to really impact you. So there's a couple steps. Number one, we need to say, Lord, we live in a world, but we also live in a body of Christ that has lost the fear of the Lord greatly. And we need a return to the fear of the Lord, because the knowledge we're learning of you, God, needs to be done in the context of the fear of the Lord. The church in so many ways has went through this, like, come in here, you will be comfortable here. Come in here. It's a laid-back atmosphere. And it amazes me how ignorant and silly people can be, because they push a point that they believe is an attractive truth. And they've been taught something that many times, it's not only air, it's air repeated through several generations. Come to our place, you'll be comfortable. Come to our place. It's easy going. You won't feel obligated. And all these things are actually go against the scripture, go against the heart of God. And yet then we grow these places with population that has been brought on in on a bad premise. Mm-hmm. And then we wonder why the church is so impotent, sterile. As a believer, you need to start understanding that the spiritual atmosphere you do live in, both in the world and sometimes among Christians, is that one that can influence your life. And sometimes if it's the lack of the fear of the Lord, you know, it's interesting. I heard where churches do some kind of night and they have some kind of activity. And then, you know, you see people in the sanctuary. Well, it's a sanctuary, but when they're doing their activity, it's just a room. And you'll see Christians just doing unspeakable things, where bizarre things seem contradictory to our faith, but there they are. And you just go, this is a deterioration of the fear of the Lord. This is the deterioration. Another lie that we hear a lot is the one that says, to win the world, you got to be like them. Well, to win a sinner, they need to know that you were a sinner. They need to know that you were fallen. But if you want to be lifting up the attributes of your fallen nature and think that's a draw-in, that makes no sense, actually. Because then we're drawing men to something that is not regenerate. And again, it's like the church can become a club, because it develops things and uses things to grow that are not only have no foundation, but they're absent the fear of the Lord, they're absent the knowledge of God. It's interesting. It's almost like saying, you know, we have this thing, we want people to join, but we're going to take what is required and just reduce it, reduce it, reduce it, reduce it. Look at now how many are coming in. It's like, well, yeah, it's easy because once you take the narrow gate and you make it wide, everybody comes in. So I started asking the Lord about the fear of the Lord. I've preached on it before, spoken on it, but I said, Lord, I want to grow in the fear of the Lord in my life. And just really strong. The Lord spoke to me on many things, but one of them was, you know, number understanding we need it, believing in it, also sorting out a lot of the misinformation that often people react with when you talk about the fear of the Lord. I've been in places and I preached about the 10th century Nazarenes who copied the scripture with quill pens, and I use a gel pen, but in that day the best I had was quill on papyri. And when the Nazarenes would write the name of Yahweh, they would use a separate quill and then they would throw it away. Because once it wrote the word Yahweh, which was God's powerful name, the Tetragrammaton, they would throw it away because it shouldn't write any other part. Now, a lot of people hear that and they go, you know, oh, that's religious. I'm glad we're free from that. But if you actually look at where even the church is at and the lack of boundaries and there is no, the fear of the Lord has been dissipated, and you think back to the 10th century Nazarenes and you go, those guys weren't religious at all. But they understood the impact that in the name of the Lord was a strong tower. And they thought it so sacred, they just didn't feel right using another quill pen once they wrote, you took the separate one and wrote the name Yahweh. It's interesting. The church, even in America, is going to have to come back and rethink a great deal of things because we've been pulled away from the fear of the Lord in so many ways. And there's many times the world's the same as the church, and the church literally needs the hand of God to come in it, to grab it, and to orient it or orientate it again. It's like recentering the church. Why do we lack a problem with boundaries? Well, because many times we can start to lack a fear of the Lord. Why do we involve ourselves with things that should never be? Because we start losing or have lost the fear of the Lord. And again, all the knowledge of God in the world, if it's not cradled in the hand of the fear of the Lord, you're going to have a problem with it. And what God is doing is he's resetting that foundation in many Christians, because many times you get Christians that are second and third generation raised in a total Christian language, but totally absent the fear of the Lord. And God is reteaching many believers. And I want to say this. The fear of the Lord is, in a way, I mean, it's part of, I believe, what God brings upon us, His Spirit. I believe we need to be open to it. But if you realize that you're influenced by the world you live in, number one, and you also realize that there's a lot of tainting in the church, that God needs to reinstill the fear of the Lord, then you start, it'll start changing your being. It really will. See, one thing, if God says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, I'll get that later. He says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He will never upbraid it or hold back from you when you really want it. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now, this is a loaded one, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Also, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And I got to tell you something. What will start happening is you begin to pray and say, Lord, I want to grow in the fear of the Lord, because that's my prayer. Absolutely. You will find that your taste for evil, for darkness, you will start to get a repulsion. And as you grow, you will get more of a repulsion. There will be an actual hate. Listen. You need a love-hate relationship with evil. What I mean is you need to hate it. You need to not love it no more. And the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And it's interesting, pride and arrogance. So to hate evil and pride and arrogance. Think about this. When we get puffed up in ourselves and we are just walking in pride, we really need to say, you know what? I want to hate pride. And when it rises in me, it can't have room in me. Arrogance. Again, arrogance and pride is a false assessment of oneself. The arrogant often sees themselves in a much higher light than they actually exist. And they have an undue value of their own person. And really, pride and arrogance will always wage itself against the priority of God. It does, because it demands its own way. So we think about this stuff. To hate evil, that's the fear of the Lord. To hate pride, that's the fear of the Lord. And arrogance and the evil way. Now, this is interesting, because evil and the evil way are actually two subjects. There is evil. You go, that's evil. But But there's also, to be an evil, there's a way of evil that people think evil. You know, it's interesting. We've turned the word evil into a rare word that we can only use on certain situations, but the Bible never did no such thing. Because when people fell away from the Lord, when people sinned and they did the opposite, it says they did evil in the sight of the Lord. Again, it's one of these words that we dare not use. I mean, would we ever say the Christians can do evil? Well, we need to, because they can sometimes. So, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverted mouth I hate. Now, this is interesting, because first the Lord describes the fear of the Lord, some of the things that it hates, then he makes a personal commentary that he hates the perverted mouth. He hates the perverted mouth. If we start to ask the Lord in the American church, Lord, we got to grow in the fear of the Lord, because we lack that. We lack the reverential fear for you. We lack the fear of the Lord with our boundaries. We lack the fear of the Lord. And because of it, we run into things we shouldn't. We speak things we shouldn't. We end up in places we shouldn't be. But there is a cure, and God will work in his people. He will grow the fear of the Lord. But that needs to be an earnest prayer. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You know, I think about what Jesus said. He says, I've come that you might know him. Now, I want to tell you something. Maybe you've been reading your Bible for 2 years, 5 years, 40 years. But I want to explain something to you. I've been around the body a long time. I've known the Lord for a long time. But I have no way grown in the knowledge of God, to the fullest extent, and I'm still growing. See, it's interesting. We take the Word of God, which is the Word of God. I need not say more, do I? But the knowledge of God, even the time we spend with Him, His Spirit nudging us, His very person in prayer with us, there is such a wide scope of growing in the knowledge of God. Oftentimes we learn a verse, and in our mind we kind of stop. But God wants to spend time with you in prayer. Jesus came that you might know him. Actually, the word is real. In the scripture, that word is a very powerful word. I've come that you might know him. It didn't mean I've come that you might come to know him. There's coming to know the Lord and then growing in the knowledge of the Lord. Coming to know the Lord is the admission of who he is, what Jesus came and died for, and receiving him. But growing in the knowledge of the Holy One is relational, and it's ongoing. Many times Christians learn a few scriptures and their brain turns off. They feel like they're familiar with the Lord as much as they can be. And it's sad, because when that happens, there's a stoppage. We don't grow anymore. When I was a young believer, I used to watch pastors, and I would love the way they would handle the Word and quote the Scripture. And I wanted to do that, not for any sake, but to handle the Word of God accurately. But I had a big misperception, even as a young minister, because some of the people I looked at in the goals, what I was seeing was a good thing, but it wasn't the end game. I would need to grow in my knowledge of the Lord. Thus, I would need to grow in the fear of the Lord. And it's interesting, because I never even heard a sermon about the fear of the Lord, I don't think, in years. And then finally I heard it one time. And then one time when I preached about the fear of the Lord and that God was coming to look for the stagnant in heart, I had a person come up to me, a powerful anointing moved, and I had a person come up to me, and they were all shaken. And he said, Pastor Mike, I feel totally judged by what you just did. Totally judged. And I thought, it's fascinating you feel totally judged, because I preached about being stagnant as a believer, and I preached about the fear of the Lord. Somehow you feel, and he said, and I feel condemned. And I thought, we got a whole sphere here going on, stuff I've never even talked about, but when you heard that word, that's what it did. And you know, I was a young minister, so it kind of hurts your feelings, because we want people to applaud our sermons and amen our sermons. But what I didn't even realize as a young man of God right then and there was it was a convicting power of God in this man. And his life was a mess. So all the responses he had to the word weren't inappropriate, nor did it mean I was a bad preacher. It meant that God was dealing with him. Now, in his mind, he had blocked off many things and had many arguments as to why he could stay in his darkness. But God wanted to deliver him. The more I know of him, the more I understand how to live, how to make decisions, what to do. And the more the fear of the Lord, it's going to guard me. Did you know that? Did you ever see a Christian where there's something they're like, no, I can't do that? And a lot of times people are like, oh, come on. And what you're looking at, sometimes in believers, it's not religious, it's not a spirit of religion, it's not a counterfeit or a phony. They have the fear of the Lord, and there are things that they won't get near. The fear of the Lord is operating correctly. But I'm going to bring it back. We live in a society that does press on us all the time to not fear God. All the time. It's 24/7. I could handle it if it was in the world and the world alone, but as I've watched the church for many years in America, and I've seen the fear of the Lord dwindle, many times dwindling with theological excuses as to why it should dwindle. And I think, Lord, we need to fear the Lord. We need to grow in wisdom. This is God's heart. I really believe, even in this era, this is God's heart for the day. It's God's heart for the nation. First thing that struck me, I was in a Catholic mass when I was 5 years old, was the very essence of the person of Jesus, his person. I could feel it as they read the New Testament scriptures and in Acts. It was interesting. Little boy, reading was okay, but obviously I wasn't living at some, you know, level of high intellect. And yet, when I heard Acts, I saw Jesus walking with the disciples or the apostles and doing the works. Weird equation, because Acts, he's already resurrected and he's in heaven. But through his spirit, he is working through them. I always think back to my original recollection of the book of Acts, and they were reading about the blind, the member Peter and John. They were by the gate, silver or gold have I none. And for some reason, in my mind, I'm seeing Jesus standing right next to Peter, raising the man up. And later on, I learned, a lot of years later, might I add, I learned that Jesus was totally there in the spirit. But actually, I started picking up the fear of the Lord at a young age. It was a good thing. Although we grow up, we hit puberty, we jump into sin and darkness, and we fear nothing. Period. I think it's important, too, that we understand. I don't think God ever wants you to learn the truth and then you start turning around and accusing others immediately. I've seen people do that. That's not really the way God works. But we do have to understand, sometimes if your house has been broken into, your life or the church in America, if his fingerprints are all over stuff, meaning the dwindling of the fear of the Lord and how it dissipates, how it can affect Christians because they're going into church, we need to acknowledge sometimes the enemy's fingerprints are very much all over everything. Because if you can't acknowledge the fact that something has been robbed, you don't believe it's been stolen, then you won't see it the way you need to. If the hand of the enemy has been at work in the Christian and had been at work at the church, it's very important that the Christians acknowledge that the enemy's fingerprints are all over it. You know, we need to come to a place when something grabs us, convicts us, myself included. Before I'm anything, I'm a believer in Christ. It's not about the position or the titles we carry. I'm a believer in Christ. And, you know, it's funny. We need to welcome the kind of conviction that breaks our heart. We need to welcome the fear of the Lord, and as we learn, we grow in that. And then what happens too is, the first thing is the fear of the Lord starts increasing in the church. The church isn't going to become a self-righteous band of people that run around pointing fingers at everybody. The first thing that's going to happen is in your personal life, in your own life, as it starts increasing, you're going to go, oh wow, well, I used to have no problem walking over to that place mentally. I'm having a hard time. I used to go there, I used to drive there, didn't even think about it, and now I know I can't. I don't feel comfortable with that. And the things maybe that once attract us begin to be repulsive to us. And I believe sometimes we grow in it. I don't think that stuff is always overnight. I don't. Now, I want to say this, when I got born again, there was an immediate influx of the fear of the Lord. You know, I got in a car and somebody, and you know, back in the days, you know, we'd buy dope and smoke dope, but I mean, we weren't like a community. We didn't go, I bought pot, I want to share my pot with you, you know what I'm saying? It didn't work like that. And I remember, though, I was a party guy, like to smoke dope, like to do drugs. And I got in a car and I don't even know these people. Guy goes, he holds up a bag of really high-grade pot and goes, you want to go smoke some dope? I had never, in all my party days, I dreamt of that, wished that would happen, you know, because I wasn't exactly always working. When you're doing dope, you don't work real consistently. Didn't always have money. I mean, what is it like? And I'll never forget, as he held it up, one of the higher grade reefers. I had a good eye for pot. I knew it was cheap. I knew it was good. And I was repulsed. It held nothing for me. Mm. And I went, no, that's all right. I said, hey, actually, I don't smoke dope. He goes, you don't smoke dope? I said, I came to know Jesus. And I got to tell you, the brakes he put on in that car, that thing, if there didn't have, I thank God it would go through the windshield. It's just like, oh, bummer. You know, I'm not going any farther. He's talking about driving me all the way up to Wisconsin. Now I couldn't even get out of the city limits of Madison. It was an amazing thing. But it's interesting. We get saved and there is a seeding of it in our spirit right away. And but God still has to grow it. But I remember one of the biggest downers, one of the biggest bummers of losing the fear of the Lord, I've learned a lot of losing it from Christians, not from the world. Where Christians are going, don't worry about that. I'm free. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And it's weighing on you and it's hitting you and it's an amazing breaking down of the seeds of God in your spirit. So stuff you'll learn the most will usually come from other Christians. Rarely will you get perverted and corrupt by the world as much as you where it starts with Christians. Things you've experienced, people you've had to deal with, people you looked up to. The last thing I want to talk about, you know, is two things. The fear of the Lord is exclusive. I can't fear man and God. It doesn't work. If I try to fear man and God, one of them wins out, okay? One of them wins out. It's not going to be a divided house. A divided house will always stand. So as I decide and I say, I want more of the fear of the Lord in my life, and I want to grow in that, and there's nothing, praying that prayer, saying that is an awesome thing. So obviously, if you mean it, and saying, Lord, in fact, sometimes we have problems in our life and things that God really wants to get rid of, but he needs to put the fear of the Lord. Many times we chase symptoms. I did this. I don't want to do this no more. And I guarantee you, if it's not right, God's with what you just said. But you could deal with the symptom and not understand. You may not have the fear of the Lord. Because it is the fear of the Lord that even as you got near it, you would have went, oh, I hate that. No, I'm not going to go there. And I'm not going to go even near it. There's many things that go near it. And once I get into those things, it leads into those things. And those things lead into it. And sometimes we need an influx and we need an infusion of the fear of the Lord. Because that begins to change us. Chasing symptoms is just fine, but you'll have a hard time. And God brings us to these places and we go, wow, I'm growing now. I'm seeing it now. I want to read Acts 5:12. I want to give an example, real simple, of the fear of the Lord in the church. I'm not going to tell you it's a drastic example, but I got to tell you, if this happened nowadays, God only knows what would be happening. About Ananias and Sapphira, remember? They sold the portion. The weird thing about Ananias and Sapphira, they sold the portion and lied about the amount. And it was, like he said, it was theirs to give. They could have given a little bit and given a little bit. But they wanted man to think that they did something special. In fact, with Ananias and Sapphira on the fall, I call it the false offering or the false donation, they showed exactly where they were at. They were in the church, functioning, even giving in the church, but they lived horizontally, not vertically. What they did in front of man for man. But then comes the rude awakening. At the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among them, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico. Oh, excuse me. I think I might have missed. Excuse me. Let's go to Acts 5, and I'm going to go to 11. I apologize. My notes are a little strange. Acts 5. I want to read this to you. A man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge. So they were in it together. And bringing a portion of it, he slayed it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came over all who heard of it. Now this is something else. There's absolutely an Ananias and Sapphira. There's the fear of the Lord is totally absent. So much so that if you notice what Peter says, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back? And there's a reason he says it, because Jesus is in his church through the Spirit of God. God is present in his church. The church is not a earthly it's not an earthly organization. It is an organization that meets on earth. There's a difference. And the church itself may be a physical place where people come to worship. We came to worship in this sanctuary today. So there's a physical address. There's a physical room you come and sit in. And I imagine with Ananias and Sapphira, that's pretty much how it looked. And you had people of authority in the church, and they're laying the money at the apostles' feet. But they totally missed the origin of the church and who was really present in it. And it's interesting because it's through the Spirit of God that Christ is working in the church. And the reality is, Peter brings this up, meaning Satan filled your heart and you lied to the Holy Spirit, not to men. But wait a minute, they did lie to men. They didn't lie to the Holy Spirit. They put the offering at Peter's feet, not the Holy Spirit's feet. But that's the whole point. The church's origin, it meets in earth, but its origin comes from heaven. And you're getting a real glaring example in the story of Ananias and Sapphira that is glaring because it's really God saying, this is my church. The fear of the Lord needs to be here. You're not lying to men when you lie to your brothers. You lie to God first. And he's showing a complete vertical relationship between the church, those in it, and the things they do to the heavens and not to men. I'll never forget in my home church, a person bought one of those for $200. They wanted to give a $250 donation. And I'm not downing. $250 is a great donation. But they made a 3-foot check. You know those placard checks? And they walked it up. And they waited till we, like 275 people, and they pounced it up to the pastor smiling, here, pastor, and turned the amount towards the thing. My pastor was a guy that didn't mince a whole lot of words, and he went, you know, it's just the expression of his face. If we had YouTube at that point, I would have just filmed it. I could have got a million views with that easy. And as she's walking down the steps, he goes, thank you, sister. You have your reward in full. And she did. That was a fact. What she did had no heavenly value because she was living completely horizontal and not vertical to heaven. And what she was given to man, not to God. And I thank God that this didn't become doctrine and system of the church where God strike down people for lying in these things, because quite frankly, we would need an EMT outside of probably half the churches in America, and there'd be casualties all over the place. But it's interesting because that's the thing. He falls down, and it's interesting if you look even in it caused, but think about what the lack of the fear of the Lord in Ananias and Sapphira. Their value system was, it was the one of the world. Look good. Look like you're doing a lot, look wealthy, even if you're not. It blinded them to the very reality that was right before them, that they had entered a heavenly realm, yet it had an earthly address and an origin, but the church had the Spirit of God and sat before the throne of God, not before men. And I really, somebody asked me, you know, why don't people drop dead all the time? Well, I said, number one, how do you know that they're not sometimes dying? Paul makes a threat about taking communion wrongly. I actually believe plenty of casualties happen. We just don't understand why. But the reality, it says, and once this happens, think about this. They were motivated, and it says he filled their heart. Isn't that crazy? Same thing happened with his wife, but isn't it interesting? He asked the wife, meaning God's given a second chance to Sapphira. Is this a fact? Meaning, will you tell the truth or will you lie? She's got the story. She doesn't know her husband's just been put out back. And she lies. And Peter's response is, why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out as well. And immediately she fell at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Put the Spirit of the Lord to the test. You don't believe the Spirit's really there, so you do things that absolutely are a lie in the face of God before they are in the face of man. You know what's interesting? And you see this equation through the scripture. When David slept with Bathsheba, what did he say when he repented? Think of the words. They're really odd. Against you and you alone have I sinned, O God. Really? I think Uriah would differ on who David sinned. But the fact is, when we sin, when we fall off, the first thing we sin against most is God. I've sinned plenty, guys. I can tell you stories. In fact, many times that's the equation we don't get in our mind, kind of with the fear of the Lord. We see man, we see, you know, I don't want to let you down. And that's fine. I don't want to let you down either. But most importantly, we got to be at a place, because another thing that happens is the fear of man becomes greater than the fear of the Lord. And even when David did all that, he said, to you alone and to you and before you I have sinned, to you alone. He wasn't stupid. He knew that Uriah got murdered. He understood that. He understood that there was a darkness in the earth and his kingdom. It put a blemish on everything. But at the end of the day, the fear of the Lord, really, David actually remembered it and said, against you and you alone have I sinned. And the sin that Ananias and Sapphira were about to do was against the Lord and the Lord alone. And they did. And God, to me, God makes a testimony here that will forever live. Am I right, guys? Mm-hmm. He makes a testimony. But I love what it says in verse 11. And great fear came over the whole church. So here's what this means. The church was lacking the fear of the Lord. Here comes the Ananias and Sapphira thing. This happens. Boom. Fear of the Lord's there. Fear of the Lord is there. Trust me. I guarantee you, for a long time, nobody looked at the offering the same. Nobody. It was when you were given, you told what you were given. You never told. You were given something you weren't giving. Lied big or small. And you made sure as you laid it at the apostles' feet, it was done in truth, sincerity, and honesty. And now we have the fear of the Lord. Came over the whole church. The word whole is not a partial whole. It's a whole. Meaning the whole church at that point got affected by this. And all the cities and all the places. And the fear of the Lord came over the church. And all of a sudden, people understand that the church was an institution of God, not of man, and understood that there were people put in authority by God, not of man. And dealing with each other, we deal with Jesus. And this equation begins to happen. But I want to say this. The result, 12, at the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico. But none, now this is interesting, none of the rest dared to associate with them. However, the people held them in high esteem. Do you understand the dynamic of that? It's so powerful. The world looked at the church, it wouldn't associate with them. They weren't believers. But when the people feared the Lord, there was a sense of even a reverence that a pagan could pick up if he were near them. And the world actually held them in high regard. They knew God was there. They weren't going to follow God. They weren't going to serve God. They weren't going to bow to God. But there was a healthy respect of the church. Because the fear of the Lord, when it increases in the church, when the fear of the Lord increases in the church, something happens to its witness in the world. This is a fact. You know, it's interesting. Nowadays, we're always trying to grow church and do this, and sometimes the methods are ridiculous. They're ridiculous. They're cheap. They're commercial. They're, you know what I mean, appealing to people's greed and all kinds of things. And you look at the real need that we need to grow any organization of Christ, and it's going to be the fear of the Lord. And do people dare not associate? Do they hold us in high esteem? This is a really critical thing. Church in America is not ready for this in many circles, because it, to them, they're going to scream legalism or, you know, oh, that whole fear of the Lord, you know. But what I love is people go, well, actually, that's not a real fear. But actually, I've read it in Greek, I've read it in English, I've even read it in Hebrew. Actually, it is a fear. But I've said this before, and this is a revelation the Lord spoke to me years ago. The kind of fear that you fear with has a lot to do with the object you're fearing. Now, there's bad fear, phobic fear. There's all kinds of stuff with fear. But when I fear the Lord, the fear of the Lord, it says, is clean, enduring forever. So when I fear God, it's not necessarily like a nightmare or a horror movie or a phobic thing. The fear of the Lord is clean from that kind of, because the fear of man is dark, it's denigrated, it's perverted. So the fear of man is, you can't fear man. If you fear man, that kind of fear is bad. But if you fear God, the object you fear, the fear itself is a pure fear. And again, a lot of people won't even tackle this, and I'm not sure why, or they'll make an excuse, but the scripture is actually really clear on it. They held them in high esteem, and all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women were constantly added to their number. You know, we've become commercially proficient at growing the church in America through media, through hype, and all kinds of garbage. But it's funny. As I heard a pastor once say, he said, I never want to have a church that's a mile wide and an inch deep. And I remember when I heard that, I was a younger man, I just wanted to grow. You know, it sounded good, and I amended it, but I don't know that I really believed it, but I understood later what he was saying. 14:27, Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Now check this out. The fear of the Lord brings life, that one may avoid the snares of death. You know, I wrote a note in my notes, and Jesus spoke with the woman at the well in the Gospel of John that he who believes in him would have, coming up from his deepest part of his being, fountains of life. And I thought, Lord, the Zoe life, God, the word used is Zoe in Greek, and that divine life of God. I'm like, Lord, when Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, is the very life of God as it comes into your being, is it full of the fear of the Lord if we will only listen to it? And I think that's a fact. You know, we talk about life, and the life that God births up in your being is full of the fear of the Lord, if you'll listen to it. But, you know, I love that statement you said. You know, the Lord never leaves. We do. That's a fact. That's such a fact. God is the most steady being in the universe. Never changing, never altering, never leaving. We leave as humans. The fear of the Lord is always even around the Lord, but humans, again, I thought about that, guys. Snares of death. Fear of the Lord helps me avoid. 16:6. By loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for. And by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. I want you to ask yourself, in our quest to stay away from evil, and every Christian in every church knows what it is to touch evil, even as a Christian. Now, maybe that doesn't sound pretty, but that's a reality. Is it true that sometimes we really wish to stop getting near evil, but we don't ever consider the fear of the Lord as a factor? We just want strength to resist it, but there's more to it. Think about it. It's like dealing with a multi-tiered issue and only knowing one part of one tier to deal with it. Well, you're going to be insufficient because, number one, you're going to be thinking wrongly about the cure. And you're going to be addressing issues when it's like I'm addressing one out of five things that need to be addressed in this. But in this case, think about it. By loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for. And by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. The problem with Christians and evil is Christians do get into evil sometimes. They backslide. They do all kinds of things. Do they want to grow in the fear of the Lord? Do they believe that there's a lack of that? And I ask you a question right now. We've all had our fights, our battles. We've all had our victories and our defeats. I want to ask you a question. And any of them, unless somebody said something to you, how many times did you say, grow me in the fear of the Lord, Father? I want to overcome this. I can almost guarantee you, not every time you did that did you say, grow me in the fear of the Lord. You know, it's interesting. God brings the word to light so we can grow. And even messages like this there's a meat to them because you can get a hold of it. And even as I close, I had somebody tell me, they said too, another great thing, said, if you wanna sin less, love God more. And I thought, that's actually true. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we just want to sin less, but loving God, we don't even see it in the equation. Imagine that. I want to sin less, but I don't want to love God more, because Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So it's obvious if we grow in our love of Jesus, we're going to be a more obedient people. And also, if we want to stay away from evil, we need to fear the Lord. And you imagine coming with something and saying, Lord, I can love you better than I do, and I can fear you more than I do. And yet, many times, even those two objects are at the crux of most of what we do. We won't say it. We don't want to think it. In fact, the interesting thing is many times people won't even admit. In fact, the worst thing we've ever done is assume we love God all we can. I got to laugh, you know. It's like I've had people go, I've been in the Lord 15 years. What are you talking about? I need to love God more. You need to love God more. I've been in the Lord a lot longer than you, and you need to love God more. And so do I. We're growing in our love relationship. I love that old term. Remember the old one? You know, I'm in a love relationship, or I'm in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's fantastic. Do you know what it means? There's much more I could say, but I'm going to end that here today. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, and you know, I think about it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, it is a literal fountain of life. I can avoid the snares of death by the fear of the Lord. You know, You will know when the fear of the Lord increases in you. Trust me, there'll be multiple high signs. Now, I'm not here to judge where you're at in that. In fact, not at all. That's something that each person, we come to the Lord and say, Lord, I heard about, I want to grow in the fear of the Lord, and I suppose I can. Pastor Mike laid that out, and you know, I know I can. And I think it's a beautiful thing, and I think the fear of the Lord's going to increase, actually. I really do. I think the fear of the Lord is going to increase in the body in America. I've seen it in my spirit. I believe this is what God's doing. He's going to right the ship for many believers, even believers that have cried out and felt like they failed a lot. He showed me that he's drawing in, and he's really going to give a lot of victories. But he's kind of setting a line down, and I'm just keep looking at it, and the line will sit down. He's going to draw in many. But let's grow in this thing, and you know, it's interesting. When I've been in foreign nations too, I'll hear a lot of, it used to be like this, but this generation or... But it's interesting. When I told you about the whole media thing, you know, people instead of praying are on their phones, every place I've gone. The weirdest thing, I've been in remote villages where I didn't even know there would be a cell signal and somebody was looking at Facebook, you know, or reading news. I'm like, there is no. I don't know. Maybe I go to the jungle in Africa and find a place where there's no towers. I know in the Amazon, there's not a lot of people on social media, but... That's in the jungle, 6 hours up the river. But I want to encourage you today because it's clean, it's enduring, it's a fountain of life. And I want you to be praying for that. And I want you to even pray for the American body. We need it. We're so fearless in so many ways. It amazes me. I'm seeing things I never thought I would see. Mm-hmm. Seriously. There's been fallings off. There's been pastors committing suicide. If someone were to tell me, Mike, it's just always the same, you're just focusing on those things, I would say, no, it's not. Not focusing. They've increased radically. Oftentimes there'll be some kind of thing happen in news, in a ministry, and the head pastor will speak up. And if he were to speak the absolute truth, there would be an outcry against him so big, so huge, that he might not have a job by the next week. So what happens? Well, he answers with the fear of man. He answers very flowery language. Many times it sounds theological. Many times it has no base in the Bible. And people will agree, yes, amen, amen. And all heaven just weeps. Because the truth has been dishonored and the fear of man dominated over the fear of the Lord. Think about when you've been asked for an answer sometimes. I've been asked for an answer in a situation where I'm like, oh gosh. And I'm even going, Lord, I really don't want to answer this here because I know what I do. I know darn well there's going to be a gasp and then I'm going to be accused and somebody's going to get really angry. And it's funny, you're going to have those situations and you'll point blank. I'm not talking about you running around condemning everybody, but some people point blank to say, hey, I need to know, what do you think about this? You know, you do two things. If you don't want to lie, just shut up and don't talk at all. I would tell somebody, if you're going to answer in the fear of man, just don't answer. Say, I can't answer that. Because it actually is better to say, I can't answer it than to, you know, to kind of write God off and say, well, you know, it's a fascinating question. You know, it's hard to say. I love that. I love that one. It's hard to say. There are times where it is hard to say. But so many times I've heard that used as a, I'd really rather not say. In fact, you should just say, I'd really rather not say, instead of, it's hard to say. In fact, I had somebody press me. They used to like to fight with me, you know, about my scripture, my biblical beliefs, because I'm a Christian. And at first I'd get in arguments, and they'd always set it off. Always come up to me, hey, what do you think about? And it was always about, finally I just said, I have no desire to talk about that. And they're like, what do you mean? I said, because, number one, all you want to do is fight. And I don't think arguing truth with you will win you to truth, so we're done. Mm-hmm. And if you want to ask me a question that I can't answer, I'll gladly answer it, but all you want to do is pick a fight. I'm not doing it no more. You're not baiting me, and then I'm all red in the face and slamming my Bible down. We're not going to do that. You don't like the truth right now, and you don't want to know it. In fact, you just want to fight with the truth. And I did tell a person, I said, it's interesting because you like to fight so hard against the truth. Is it bothering you or something? Because you seem to take a lot of time on it, and it seems to bother you and get under your skin. You tell me you're totally confident, it's absolute baloney and nonsense what I believe. Well, if it is that much nonsense, why is it so important to argue with me? You should be secure in what you know, right? And the truth is they weren't at all. So go argue with somebody that's less mature, and you can bait them into it, and they'll go round and round. Find a new believer. They're really good for that. So, because I did it too, and all us new believers, we saw every challenge to the knowledge as a direct challenge to our integrity, and we needed to fight it. I got into a lot of fights that when I got older, I went, yeah, if I was a little older, I would never would have did that one. That's okay. There is plenty to fight for. I will tell you that. There's plenty to contend the faith for. Plenty of stuff that's coming our way. Let's all rise and pray. I want to grow in the fear of the Lord. That is my prayer for every one of us, to grow in the fear of the Lord. Father, as we close today, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. It keeps me from the snares of death. It's a fountain of life. There are so many promises with the fear of the Lord. I know as Christians, we love to quote promises. I've quoted many in my lifetime. But I tell you, there's a lot of scriptural reference about what the fear of the Lord does, what it protects us from. It's a wonderful thing. Lord, we live in a world that has affected the church. The church has released the fear of the Lord and even abandoned it to a great degree. Now, Lord, saying that, I'm not picking on anybody. I'm looking around. I know what I see. It's fairly obvious that the fear of the Lord is even, some even remake the word to make it say something that it doesn't even claim. It's the fear of the Lord is the fear of the Lord. Father, we need it. In my personal life, I need it. In my marriage, I need it. In my daily walking, I need it. We wish to grow, God. Now, Lord, Father, you know all before we say a word. So to say any of this and be half-hearted and sincere it's really a losing proposition, because even as the words come off my tongue, you know my every motive. That's the kind of God you are. You see everything. Lord, that once again the fear of the Lord would hit the American church, where people would say, yes, you know, the sinners, they dare not associate with them, but they held them in high esteem. Lord, we're trying to be like the world to impress the world, but actually the fear of the Lord is upon the body of Christ is the very thing that will cause the world to say, I don't want to go there, I don't want to believe in that, but I have a deep respect for those people. That's an amazing thing. I think that truth is mind-blowing to me. We want to be the church that we're meant to be. We want to be the Christians that we're meant to be. We will. Lord, it says to cease striving and know you are God, but there's other verses where we strive for certain things, but meaning in the Lord, to grow. We strive to grow. We strive to say, listen, I can grow in many areas in my walk. Lord, time and again, when there's revivals, when we look at the book of Nehemiah, Ezra, where the word of God came back to the people, and the people at first were totally weeping and pulling out hair because the fear of the Lord suddenly struck them, and they knew where they had been was not acceptable anymore. I thank you, God, that you're dealing with us as we dismiss, God. I thank you for the quality of people that I sit here before today, because these are sons and daughters of God. Grow us. And Lord, I don't want to, one last thing, for me to talk about, you know, we need the fear of the Lord. The conversation in itself is only a door to an actual avenue, to an actual miracle. Many times, Lord, I know even in Christian circles, we preachers, you know, because we can say it, somehow that must mean we're doing it totally. But there can be a far gulf between speaking about something and getting high on your own exhaust fumes of your verbosity, or actually speaking from God and it gives life. I pray you bless everyone, Lord, even as we were worshiping. I know there was a touch for a touch for physical touch upon people. Lord, even during worship, I've had a vision of people being healed, of people miraculously being healed, of visions happening for as long as I can remember. And I say even today, I declare that that's to be something you desire to do. I believe that, Father. But as we go, I pray shalom, peace for people. I do. And Lord, give us the strength where when we make a choice, because we can do this, where, you know, giving an answer, we cop out, meaning we're asked directly and we just... We don't want to get that reaction, so we either lie about it or act like we don't understand it. But I prayed this morning, touch us as we go. Lord, it says the fear of the Lord is clean and enduring forever. So if I walk in it, it's not going to mess me up. In fact, if I fear you and walk in the fear of the Lord, I'm going to be bold as a lion in the world I live in. And I'm going to be in my best position to help others. So bless us today. Answer the questions. Lift up the spirit that is tired, that is weary. Lift up today. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to do a special work, even as we dismiss. And we're grateful we can come here today. I'm so grateful that I can stand on my legs. I can worship. I can be here. It means so much, Lord. May we help others, too, that ask us. Because the fear of the Lord is contagious. When it's on one believer, I've seen the fear of the Lord affect many people when one person's walking in it. Thank you for that, God. Your blessings today in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.